If I am honest, there are some holiday traditions that just have to go. Until about 10 years ago, everyone in my family bought a Christmas gift for everyone else. All 14 of us. It was not only expensive, both the shopping and even the unwrapping were exhausting. When we determined that that system needed to change, however, I was overruled. My vote was for drawing names. What won is a system that goes by various names. Yankee Swap or White Elephant are two common ones. Basically, everyone buys a $20 or $30 present for a random, gender-neutral 18 to 74-year-old. Just remember that not everyone drinks coffee, not everyone drinks alcohol. We're politically diverse, so no books or magazines can be included. It ends up that virtually everyone gets something that is wrong for them. 2 years ago, my husband received this absolutely beautiful boiled wool makeup bag. My issue wasn't actually with the virtual impossibility of buying an item that would work for everyone. My issue was with how transactional that made the gift. You put something worth about 25 bucks in that you randomly purchased, and you got back something that someone else had put as little thought into. It made the exchange all about the stuff, because it cut out all of the thoughtfulness. The thing we were told was what really counted. There's little room for gratitude when you're just getting what you give. A 2015 Pew Research Center study says that 80% of Americans feel grateful on a weekly basis. I have to admit, this surprised me. When I'm walking around minding my own business, I don't get the impression that we're all that grateful. Well, last week, you know, Thanksgiving we were. We wished each other well all week. If you're like me, you tipped a little better. But most weeks, I just don't see a lot of us expressing all that much gratitude. Sure, most of us can come up with what we're grateful for in a heartbeat. Diana Butler Bass, a theologian who recently wrote a book named simply Gratitude, suggests that part of our disconnection from gratitude is American individualism and seeing gratitude as a transaction. In an interview with Sojourners magazine, Bass talks about the great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is best known for being jailed and executed for after a botched assassination attempt on Hitler, but whose writings are deeply rooted in themes of grace and gratitude. Bass is quoted, Bonhoeffer talked in terms of cheap grace. What had happened in Germany is they lost the capacity to experience grace, to understand that God really has gifted and continues to gift the whole of creation with absolutely everything that is needed for creation to thrive and evolve. Because human cultures don't often grasp the radicalness of that, human culture winds up structuring our social constructs on scarcity. And then stuff happens. There's war, or there's a drought, or like Germany in the 1930s, there was a war and punitive economic sanctions. This profound experience of scarcity and limits leads to anger and cynicism and hatred and scapegoating. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Bass notes that in America today, we've structured the notion of gratitude around obligation and indebtedness. It's an exchange. It's economic. If I receive a gift from you, I need to offer one of comparable value in return. My obligation has been satisfied, and neither of us is indebted to the other, socially or economically. This isn't new, nor is it strictly American. Wasn't it in Hamlet that we learned neither a borrower nor a lender be? In this dynamic, Bass contends that we may be good at interpersonal gratitude, saying thank you, but societally, currently in America, gratitude is a means of control. We give in order to receive. And yet, in every religious tradition in the world, gratitude is not a weapon against other people. It is not about debt and economic exchange. It's always about the free gifts and grace. Bass's conclusion, then, is that our current societal breakdown is actually tied to this transactionalism. The idea is that if I give, I must get. And if I get, I must give. Instead, she recommends immersing ourselves in a spirituality that everything is an incomparable gift. Repayment isn't expected. It's not even possible. Stop and think a moment of the person who loves you the very most in all the world. Think about this person. Can you repay them for their love? Is there any way possible? Could anything at all compensate them for that love? Of course not. And the love that we offer in return doesn't satisfy a debt. Rather, it is freely given, a gift with no chance of repayment. That, of course, is one of the central themes of Christmas, an unfathomable gift freely given that with no chance of repayment, an opportunity to be on God's reshaping of the world. There's a cute video that a megachurch in South Carolina produced a couple of years ago. It's received over 10 million views on the internet. It shows a man waking up in bed, all wrapped up in wrapping paper. He pulls the wrapping paper off of his face and is wildly ecstatic. He is so grateful for the gift of himself, the gift of life. He looks to his left, and his spouse is wrapped up like a gift too. So he pulls the wrapping paper away from her face and is ecstatic. He gets out of bed, and the light switch is wrapped up. He flips the lights on and off over and over and over again and is over the moon. Look! They turn on and off and off and on. He unwraps the kids, the faucet in the bathroom, his cereal bowl. The kids hand him wrapped shoes and a wrapped briefcase and a wrapped coffee cup. And then he goes out to a wrapped car. It's easy to see how this has gotten over 10 million views. While the video is kitschy and over the top, it plain and simple reminds us that every single thing is gift. Every single moment of this day is worthy of gratitude. It reminds us that the simple things we often take for granted are gifts, pure and simple. Advent starts next Sunday. It's our annual church season in which we prepare for the coming of Christ. I've asked the ushers to hand out a sheet that speaks of a couple of different rituals that we might undertake. Sadly, because our secular Christmas takes so much preparing, we rarely take time to prepare spiritually. This year, I'd like to suggest that we commit to some spiritual preparation as well. One side of this handout lists very short passages, mostly just one or two verses from the Bible, to read and pray on and focus on each day. By committing to such a short and simple yet focused plan, this may be one way that you may train yourself to stay out of society's transactional nature of the season. The other side outlines the idea of a reverse Advent calendar. This is the reverse of a traditional Advent calendar where kids usually enjoy a chocolate each day or get a small toy, counting down the days until Christmas. Instead, the idea here is to pick out a sturdy basket, bag, or box and fill it with donations. One item for every day in December until Christmas. You can decorate it if you desire and make it something that the kids could help with. And then on Christmas Eve, once you have put 24 items into your bag, box, or basket, you bring the items to church to be blessed and distributed, or bring them to whatever charity it is that you would like to share them with. The reverse Advent calendar encourages us to think of others as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, as we prepare for the coming of the kingdom of God. It gives us a way to be socially grateful, giving graciously, not for thanks, not for reciprocity, simply out of our own gratitude. The sheets that I've handed out have ideas both for St. John's and the Micah Center, which are two of the shelters we work closely with, as well as ideas for how school. This congregation this fall adopted a fifth grade class at Howe School where we provide the snack every day. The donations that you might partake in your reverse Advent calendar might be as elaborate as one of the pairs of tennis shoes that are requested, or it might be as simple as buying three boxes of granola bars for the whole month and putting one bar in every morning prayerfully as you think about and pray about the fact that you are going to be about giving in the world, not just the transaction of giving and receiving. However you choose to mark your Advent, my prayer is that we will all do so taking a cue from this morning's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where we heard of Jesus' early followers giving to all according to their need, and praising God with glad and generous hearts. May that be the center of our upcoming season. Alleluia and amen.